Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 on October the 31st. It's Halloween.
Ooh.
A very special Halloween show. We have, I'm Jack O'Lantern, and across from me filling in for Jim is Scary Logan. We have a couple guests here today from the Bonner Homeless Transitions. Ann Gehring is here, the Vice President of the Board of Directors, and Emmy Kaiser, a board member, talking about an upcoming event coming up on November the 9th. But before we talk too much about that, I think we have to do the weather. And how are you this morning, Carrie?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's not, you know, no precipitation right now, so that's
no,
good.
No, and
it's just
chilly. I'm eager to hear the weather because it's overcast out there.
It is. It's overcast, but hopefully going to get clear as the day progresses. Through the mid-morning, we'll be clearing up. A chance of flurries before 2 p.m., but this afternoon should be nicer. And a high of 41 degrees. Calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles an hour. Clear tonight with a low down to 21. So
warming up every night.
Yeah, but hopefully your Halloween costume has a few layers to it, because that's kind of chilly. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high of 45 degrees. We have a partly cloudy Friday night and a partly sunny Saturday with a high of 46. Sunday, high of 47, mostly cloudy. Monday, mostly cloudy, high of 46. So kind of holding steady there, but it doesn't look like we're going to get too much in the way of precipitation. Just kind of half sunny, half cloudy, cool weather.
Just dehydrating the ground like crazy.
Yes. What does that mean to you, Carrie? What does dehydrated ground do?
Well, I think in terms of plants and trees and stuff, they need good moisture before we really pile the ground with snow.
Hmm.
So,
well, shoot. Okay. I don't know what to do about that.
That's my theory. That's my gardening theory.
Okay. It seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
But it's good for trick-or-treaters. I want to say, was it last year or a couple of years? I don't know. It seemed like it was raining.
I think last year was wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Do you get a lot of trick-or-treaters?
Where I live, I do get a lot of trick-or-treaters. Not too far from here. Over on 4th Street, we get... last year, I think I ran out of candy and had to go restock midway through the night. Tonight, we are ready to go. I think I'm going to be dressed up as Dracula. After work, and then we'll just see where the night takes us. Hopefully we will get a few. It's Thursday night. I mean, you know, it's not a weekend night,
right?
But tomorrow being a school day, I kind of wonder what tomorrow is going to be like in the local elementary schools.
Fun.
Yeah.
Hyper.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Lots of candy in the lunches.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a variety of person count. One year we had almost 100. Last year I think we had maybe 20. It just goes,
yeah,
like a teeter totter. It's very unpredictable.
Well, okay.
We draw more when the lady down on the corner of Fur and Boyer, Carla Peterman, decorates her house, where she takes the whole month of October to decorate.
Yes,
and she's kind of in this every other year cycle now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the volume has to do with.
Yes,
with
people.
Her. Yeah, it's an attraction.
I would totally believe that. I think if I were a trick or treater, I would see that.
Right.
And make a point. I want to be on that block on Halloween night.
So, do you make Dracula friendly when the wee ones come to the door?
Yeah, pretty friendly. Last year I drank a glass of tomato juice and pretended it was blood, and at least one little kid believed me when I said I was drinking blood. And I thought it was kind of funny, I think somebody had to convince them that I wasn't really drinking blood.
I have a Casper the Friendly Ghost costume that I've had for years. And so I put the hood on, and it's the friendly little ghost face. And then when I see the wee ones coming up the driveway, I get ready, or the sidewalk, I get ready to remove it, because they're just stunned. They're like, And so I say, it's just pretend. Everything's okay. And they're still hanging back, and mom's dragging them onto the porch.
Yeah. I don't even do anything that mean, but it does seem like little kids on Halloween night, there is a lot of imagination going on. Well, I don't have a graceful transition here. I wish I did. I can't think of anything.
And that's it, the transition. Yeah.
Yes. Now let's talk to Emmy and Anne, shall we? We have two guests here from, as I said before, it's Bonner Homeless Transitions, the name of the organization, who are here in particular to talk about an upcoming fundraising event, the 4th annual Little Black Dress. I guess it's an evening. Is it a dinner?
It's an hors d'oeuvre. Mm-hmm. Hors d'oeuvres and no host bar. And it's being held at the Pondere Event Center.
Okay.
We'll be opening our doors at 5. And we have a silent auction and a live auction. Mm-hmm. And we also have a lot of fun. Most of the ladies dress up in a little black dress, although that's not required. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And men are also welcome. We've had more men in the last couple of years. So it's open to anybody that wants to come and have a good time and support our cause.
The Pondere Event Center, that's the one, it's kind of...
The mall, Bonner Mall.
Okay.
Bonner Mall Way.
It's right behind Sandpoint Furniture.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right, kind of... Mm-hmm. I've been out there. Well, that's a nice venue.
It'll be nice. And we have a whole day of decorating. We've got people that are helping us decorate, so it should be quite lovely.
So we're who's your auctioneer this year?
Jeff Sader is going to do it for us.
Oh, good. So he's feeling better.
He said he was feeling good enough to do it. And he said he might have to sit down a couple times, but we totally appreciate what he's doing.
Good for him.
It's just...
Yeah. Is he he's a local auctioneer / celebrity, I guess?
He owns the Hoot Owl, right? Oh. Didn't he own the Hoot Owl? I don't know. Mm. Yeah, he's auctioned for years around here.
Mm-hmm. And he's still in the game.
Apparently. Still in the game.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. So is there a charge to go to your event?
We will be charging $25 for the tickets. And, of course, that includes our hors d'oeuvres. We have... about 8 restaurants, local restaurants, that are donating some wonderful hors d'oeuvres, which we totally appreciate that. We appreciate the support. We're getting so much support from the businesses. It's been wonderful.
And where can we get tickets?
It's online. Eventbrite, it's called.
Eventbrite.
There we go.
Okay, so you're listed on Eventbrite, and you can buy them at the door, too, I suppose.
Also buy them at the door. Mm-hmm. You can go to our website, Bonner Homeless Transitions, and it would be available there, too.
Okay.
So you have a link to Eventbrite
there. We have a link on our website.
Okay. Cool. And cool.
Yeah, so then let's talk about what the benefit is for. Bonner Homeless Transitions. When did this organization get started?
There were two women that got together in 1994 and decided it was something that the community needed. Sid Savoy and Joe Johnson. And they put this together with a tremendous amount of support from the community. And we have just been maintaining it ever since. We are quite proud of what we do, and we feel like we're helping the clients get back on their feet, which is also helping the community. It's win-win for everyone involved.
Yeah. So what is it that what's kind of day-to-day or month-to-month, what does Bonner Homeless Transitions do here in this community?
We serve homeless women, single women, and women with children, and families. And we have quite a good support system. We help them get jobs. We help them learn how to maintain employment. We teach them how to budget. We help them with medical situations.
And all of that is a required part of a residency there. It isn't just a place for somebody to check into a motel for a while because they don't have a house. It's a place to learn how to be independent.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. We are a program, and we have standards. We feel we have high standards, and we have high expectations, and these people are willing to do the work to get themselves into permanent housing. And we place about 85% of our clients. We're also quite proud of that.
Yes, you should be.
So how many people or families do you provide housing for, services for?
We have 10 apartments at Blue Haven. And right now we have 11 adults and 12 children. We have a lot of children that we serve, and we feel good about that, too. We give them some stability. They do better in school. They have a better outlook. It's just, it's a good thing for the children. So
if somebody out there is in a homeless situation, how do they access your services?
We have an application form that they need to fill out. It's available there at Blue Haven. Or they can contact Joanne. She's very, very helpful. She interviews them and determines if they're appropriate. And
Joanne is like your residential manager?
Joanne Barlow.
Uh-huh.
I can't say enough good about her. We tragically lost Tammy Martinson, who we all loved, and she did such a good job. But Joanne has just picked up and carried this and
awesome.
Put her whole self into it. She's just been remarkable. We are so thankful for her.
Now, Ann mentioned Blue Haven, and Jack, you were saying you didn't know about
No, I haven't heard that.
Well, they're on Oak Street, where the food court is, used to be a large two-story residence that was painted blue,
mm-hmm.
and the original organization with Sid Savoy and Joe Johnson raised money to enable literally moving that building over to their current location, which is on Florence. Are you on Florence? Mm-hmm.
The corner of Florence and Michigan.
Florence and Michigan. It was quite an event. It was viewed by hundreds.
It was taken down the main street and gone through town and clear over there to Florence. It was amazing.
And then there's been remodels and additions by I think you purchased the property next door or something to help expand your capacity. But that's why they call it Blue Haven. It was that home that was colored blue that moved, and it's a haven. It's a shelter. Mm-hmm. It's a place for folks.
Is it still colored blue?
It's still blue. It mm-hmm. will always be blue.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, at one time, you had the Trestle Creek housing project also, which was an additional location for housing and teaching people. What's the status of that?
We operated as a facility out there, very similar to Blue Haven. At that time, we were funded by a housing and urban development grant, and so we were able to provide services there. About 3 years ago, Congress changed the way that they were funding housing, and they did away with transitional housing and replaced it with rapid rehousing. Also called Housing First. And that just wasn't going to work for us in Sandpoint. The high cost of rent and all of that. But we did not want to give up our program. We decided that we would go to the community and get support from the community and continue our mission. And we have had tremendous support. But we have been doing it without any grants from the government, the state and federal. We've been, Joanne has been writing grants. Joanne and Judy, our bookkeeper, do a lot of work with grants. And we are depending on fundraisers and the generosity of the community.
And so that's the reason this particular fundraiser is important, because you don't have a part of your three-legged stool is not the federal government, right? Okay. So you've got to depend on local fundraisers and private grants.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Can you talk any more about what that means, this rapid rehousing, what that trend or what the...
That would be putting homeless people into homes, immediately into homes, for the purpose of stability.
Yeah.
And that we like to look at the needs that these people have in order to be ready for permanent housing. And so we provide supportive services, like I said, the getting jobs and establishing some stability in their life. So we wanted to keep our program as a transition. And that's what we've done, and we're quite pleased with the support from the community. This event is very important because we want to keep our doors open. Some of the people, this funding was removed throughout the entire country. It wasn't anything that we did. In fact, we had one extra year over many of the other programs. But we just felt very strongly about the job that we do, and we wanted to keep the doors open. So we're depending on fundraising events.
Right. So, Emmy, yes. You're a board member now. How did you get involved?
Well, Carrie, 10 years ago, I found myself homeless. I lost my home in Boise. I've been coming to Sandpoint for years, visiting. I brought my young son back up here, met Tammy Martinson. They brought me into Blue Haven that year. And it was quite a process, you know, to go from always having a place to live to not having a place to live. But I can't say enough for all that Tammy Martinson, John, who I think still works there, Mary Jo Ambrosiani, our board president, she is incredible. They're all incredible. They brought me in. I stayed there a whole year, got on the Experience Works program, and now I've been employed at the Sandpoint Senior Center for the past 8.5 years. So they asked me a couple years ago to be on the board, and I can't say no. You know, I mean, really, it just was life-changing. I saw a lot of things I've never seen before. I didn't grow up having generational homelessness or poverty, but it didn't matter. It helped me and my son to get back on our feet. And so we really need this program. We're seeing homelessness at the senior center, people coming in, and I know there's issues with housing, but I just feel so blessed. And so hence, we just want everyone to come out as much as they can, visit Blue Haven if they'd like, come to this event. I think it will be very successful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What was your experience while you were living there for a whole year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What was that like?
Well, to begin with, I was the old lady there. Mm-hmm. My son is young. I had him at 43. So I was able to live downstairs in one of the apartments. Upstairs, they do communal. It was very small. It was just a lot of different things. I would wake up, usually go to some recovery meetings in the area, and then start looking for jobs. I did that, and, you know, it was a lot of different things, Jack. I just felt like, at first, how could I have gotten like this? But with all the support, I had some counseling as well. And after all that, I felt better about myself and able to move forward. Mm-hmm. The ladies I met had gone through many different things, a lot of abuse. The children I saw some children that just didn't have a lot of things. But their mothers were given education. I was a bit different. I had a lot of opportunities growing up, but one thing happened, led to another, and I ran out of money. So just trying to get my head wrapped around that was a bit of a process. But once things got better, I was able to move along. But the board, all of them, the staff, they can't do enough for you. And I think that really helps a woman who takes on that guilt and shame of why am I such a failure sometimes? How can my child be in this situation? I saw my son start to flourish, and now he's 21, and he's very grateful to this program as well.
Yeah. So you had an apartment, and does that include like a kitchen?
I had a little kitchenette. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had my own kitchenette and a little bathroom. Mm-hmm. And we slept what I would call a nook. Mm-hmm. So we had a little bunk bed in there. So it was all very strange and different. But, you know, every day that you get some more self-confidence, things start to change.
Yeah.
So that's what I found.
So, Anne, you mentioned multi-generational homelessness. Do you see that in your facility?
Sometimes.
Emmy answer that.
It seems to me, thank you. Some of the ladies went through that, and they also went through domestic abuse. And so they keep it very safe there for you. The first home I was in was on the corner of Oak, there by where Hartwood is. It was the church rectory, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that place was shutting down. So I was in there with a gal and three children and another gal until they could move me to Blue Haven. But it was safe. They're connected to the police. I mean, it's all good in case any of the guys would come around to maybe cause trouble. It was alarmed. But Blue Haven is not like some of the shelters I've heard about throughout the country. It's not scary there. You know, you're not locked in at night. You have times you have to be there. There is no using or drinking. You know, you have to really, Tammy ran a really tight ship. And I know they probably still do. So some of the gals don't make it. And that's just what happens. But they have a never-ending application process. I mean, they're full all the time, from what I gather. We just don't have enough resources right now.
How do people get hooked up with you? Do you get referrals from other local programs?
We get referrals, and people learn about us and inquire and. I just talked to a lady recently that had a friend at Blue Haven, and she learned about it that way. There's just various ways that they learn about us. Mm-hmm.
I volunteered at Community Resource Center for a year, and I would try to arrange shelter for some of the people who came in there. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's full most of the time. Yeah. And, you know, it's a real finesse about when somebody's going to be moving out and when your person is still in need of housing and supportive services. And if they're willing to accept supportive services, you have to be really clear that, like I said, it's not a motel. Mm-hmm. So, And I think that's a wonderful philosophy that you have of teaching people how to be successful in living independently again and all the pieces to the puzzle that are involved in that. So,
well, this is our goal, and basically, that's our mission. Let me read our mission. Helping homeless families and individuals achieve self-sufficiency and increase the quality of their lives. Mm-hmm. And this is what we focus on in all of the things we do.
I would like to say that it is not a handout. It's a hand up. You know, we hear a lot about, oh, people are not willing to do this or that. Sometimes circumstances just become so overwhelming.
Right.
And at Blue Haven, I can speak that they give you the time. You know, if you had to just come in there for a month, it would be hard. You know, especially if you've got some children. The schools are also wonderful. They know what's going on. There are a lot of homeless children in schools, apparently. So to serve the children, we want them to succeed, to be able to grow up and to change the pattern of how they've grown up, to see their mothers be happy again, if that's in the future for them. So we give them that opportunity. And like I said, mostly the gals go, I don't know, we hear success stories. I know I feel like a success story.
For sure.
And I feel very grateful to be able to serve on the board. And we are so looking forward to next week. So we want to invite everyone. It is a good $25 to put towards this. And you can come out. And I don't know. I think we're having a video. Someone's making a video, Ann.
We will be having a video. And we will have a couple of speakers. Mary Jo Ambrosiani, our president, will be introducing a short program. And I can't say enough good about how hard she's worked on this and how hard she's worked for our organization. She's basically an executive director that doesn't get paid. And
she's generous.
Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Do you have anything in particular that this program is raising funds towards, or is it just kind of general maintenance?
Operational.
Yeah.
The grants that we write oftentimes are for specific items or a specific project. Typically, grants do not provide for operation, for salaries, and that sort of thing. So we need a general fund to draw from.
So what's your annual budget?
I'm going to say $150,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With a little tiny question mark after it.
Sounds about right, what I've seen, yeah.
So that would be mm-hmm. staff, utilities.
Yes.
All the overhead.
Our clients at Blue Haven pay what we call a program fee, which is basically, it's pays for all of their services, including a place to stay. And that has part of how we've operate.
And that's a good idea. That's an investment mm-hmm. in your future, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. It is the beginning of teaching people to be accountable and mm-hmm. be able to manage their money mm-hmm. and
the life
be able to learn how to pay rent and
right.
all the things that we want them to be able to do when they do transition.
Mm-hmm. And so you said you have an 85% placement rate? Is that what I understood?
Placement into permanent housing,
into permanent housing.
And most of that is rental, but Emmy, I think you have a home.
I did last year, Ann. I did buy my son and I a little place in Sagal. I just want to say that I know that when the ladies would go out to, you know, find housing for their families. We know how expensive it is. And some of the gals are living on, you know, maybe disability and some other things. So I think they used to be able to get that money back, the program fees, to put towards going out for first, last, and security, I think.
Yes.
But it's wonderful. I went from there to an apartment for 6 years, and it's been great to work as well at the senior center. And my mother passed away a few years, so she gifted us some money, which was very helpful. So we're good to go. And Sandpoint, Sagal area, it's our home, and this is where I want to be and continue to help. And every day we meet people almost that need help with life and housing. So we want their children to do well. That's the other thing.
We are putting a lot of emphasis on children because for them to have stability in their life, they are going to grow up and be able to function and make a contribution to a community, mm-hmm. which is our goal.
Mm-hmm. What's the food situation not at the event, but actually at Blue Haven? What do they eat in the community living area? Everybody responsible
for
themselves.
They are responsible for themselves. However, we do have a little nook there at Blue Haven with food that's available if they need it, and we have people that are willing to bring that in. We have support from various churches in the area that help us out tremendously. The Episcopalians Holy Spirit Episcopalian Church has kind of adopted us, and they are they're always asking what we need and coming to help.
And I would imagine as part of the services, you teach people how to access services, which would mean applications for food stamps or
food bank.
Bank and mm-hmm. those kind of things. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Some our clients have been depending on the food bank, and they're responsible for their own food. We help, and the food bank is available.
I know with Thanksgiving coming up, we get a lot of turkeys donated, I believe, and the stuffing. I mean, I remember seeing Tammy go and collect. I mean, they get rides to doctor's appointments. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Whatever you need, they will find a way to be helpful. And that's so important when you're so down and out.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is one of the big unmet needs in your program, either in terms of services or in terms of, you know, structure? Or what are some of your unmet needs?
Well, space would be one of them. And one of our very long-term goals is to build another facility next to Blue Haven so that we can expand the number of people that we serve. We did invest in some property several years ago that's right next door to Blue Haven, which would be ideal. And like I said, that's a long-term goal, but being able to serve more people.
Mm-hmm. Is there an estimate of the number of homeless people in Bonner County, adults and children? Do you have that number?
I don't know myself.
One of the guest speakers at our event will be talking about that, and she'll have some statistics.
Okay.
Did you say you already own the property next door, but you just now you're hoping
yes.
to build something on it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of time frame for that? Or?
It's on our wish list.
Yeah. Well, and this event is hopefully going to help with that.
Yes,
at some point.
That's why we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Hoping that people will come. And like Emmy said, it's $25 worth of fun. And it's helping us, too.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do the details one more time. It's on Saturday, November the 9th at the Pondere Event Center. Doors open at 5 o'clock p.m. The Little Black Dress fundraising event for Bonner Homeless Transitions. That dress code is not mandatory, but is what I suggested, I guess.
Men and women welcome. And Emmy, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us the cost and how you access tickets?
Oh, the cost for the event is $25. I know you can't get tickets at the doors. That's still true?
Yes, we can.
But if you go online, it is available at Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or call Blue Haven. Their number is what? 208-265-2952. Do I have that number right?
I think so. But for tickets,
okay.
We have a will call
okay.
contact, and that is Carol Miller. Carol
okay.
has
yeah.
Very done a remarkable amount of work to help us. Her phone number for will call is 208-946-6646. And again, our website, Bonner Homeless Transitions, would be the best place to go.
Mm-hmm. And if suppose somebody can't make it to the event, but they do want to help out or they're interested, you guys, where would we go to either volunteer or donations or what do you need?
We appreciate any donation. We are putting baskets together. We have people that are donating baskets who can't come to the function. We have a place that you can donate on our website if you can't come to the function.
And that would also work just in general for donations?
Yes, yes.
Clothes, anything. There's a little, you know, office there where Joanne is. It's just important to remember that we all do know someone at some point that has a problem with this anymore. It's one of those things. And Sandpoint is such a generous community. with the food, all the soup kitchens, everything. Mm-hmm. So I find this a great community. I don't know where else I and my son would be able to really grow and flourish and be able to give back. So, you know, bravo to Sandpoint. And thank you for letting us come in this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you both for coming up. And unless there's anything else, we can play a little music and get on our way.
Good luck. Buy those tickets.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, have fun at the fundraiser.
We will.
Okay, I have a few. We have a number of options here. We could just play the Monster Mash since it's Halloween. We could play the number one hit from 35 years ago today, or 30 years ago today, or 25 years ago today. What do you think here, Carrie?
Let's go with the hit 35 years ago today.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out how old I was. Okay. All right. Got it.
So, in the United States on Halloween in 1984, number one on the radio was Billy Ocean with Caribbean Queen.
Huh.
Here we go. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be right back after this.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
You win.
Monster mash.
Okay, that's Boris Pickett in the Crypt Kickers with the Monster Mash. From
Were they a one-hit wonder?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, okay.
From 1962. The perennial Halloween favorite. We are here on October 31st. It's Jack and Carrie talking about some upcoming events in town. The big one that you should all be aware of is the annual trick-or-treat at the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. They are open from 4 to 7 p.m. with candy. It is totally free, and you can go and check out the museum. I am told that they did a bang-up job.
Yes, the whole thing has been redone to be a haunted venue.
So they do this every year. Have you seen this year's edition yet?
I have not.
They will be, me neither, but I hope to check it out. Well, let's see. They are open. Yeah, they're open today until 7 p.m. They are not open tomorrow as they take apart the Halloween decorations. And then on Saturday, they will be open for free first Saturday, November 2nd. It's November already, practically.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. How many days till Christmas? Okay, so 25, 30, 55,
that one, I
56,
don't know.
57, about 57.
Okay, yeah, you were asking earlier if I'm any good at math, and not that good. I don't know how to calculate that, really. Okay, so 57 days till Christmas, though, that sounds about right. You can also go trick-or-treating at City Hall tonight, if you are interested. Was that during your tenure as mayor?
We also did that. Yep. And departments, when I was there, departments would really decorate up their areas, and Public Works always had a really, really cool one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're doing this year. Maybe people will be dressed up and you can take your kids through and maybe meet the mayor. And
yeah, it says here that the mayor and city employees will be present and invite school-age children to begin their Halloween celebrations with trick-or-treating from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. at Sandpoint City Hall. So right after school, before you head on down to wherever else you may be trick-or-treating. It looks like City Council chambers will be decorated, and a special dance presentation of Michael Jackson's Thriller will be put on by the Parks and Recreation's Acro Dance Show Troupe.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Get a ticket to that.
Yes. There is a Halloween warm-up station at Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church out on Pine Street, corner of Pine and Lincoln. So if you are out trick-or-treating in that area and you need to step in someplace and warm up because it is supposed to be a little chilly tonight, you can stop by, have some mac and cheese, warm drinks. There will be fire pits and a covered seating area. Let's see here. The Zombie Nest at Lake Pondere High School. This is tonight and continues through Saturday. The Zombie Nest is put on. Let me see here.
I think it's out in Pondere behind the Hoot Owl.
So it is.
Yeah, there's a trailer out there that's they've taken over.
Yeah, located on the north side of the Hoot Owl Cafe at 30784 Highway 200.
Does it have an age suggestion on that one? I don't think it's for wee ones.
It doesn't say. Yeah, it's probably. I mean, it's put on by the high schoolers, so I bet it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
It does not say any particular age, at least what I'm looking at doesn't give an age limit, but all proceeds go towards an educational trip to Washington, D.C. and New York City this coming summer. So goes towards a good cause. And do you like haunted houses, Carrie?
Oh, well, I can't say that I like them, but you know, there are couple of places around town that people talk about seeing apparitions.
Well, let's talk about this.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, so you are on the what? The Bonner County or
no?
No, Sandpoint.
I'm on the City of Sandpoint Historic Preservation Commission,
Which is mostly about buildings, right?
It's mostly about buildings and places, but ghosts are not one of our. One of our missions, but so I went on online last night. Plus, I talked to Heather Upton from the museum. She's the curator over there.
Yeah.
And she gave me a couple of suggestions, too. So the house on the corner of 4th and Poplar, which we know is the Nesbitt Towner House, it's the one that used to look really run down. It was kind of pinkish. It's kind of behind 7B. Gym.
Okay. 4th and Poplar.
4th and Poplar.
Okay.
And it's got rehabbed a few years ago and it's like a dark green.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Ask people that have lived around here forever before the house was redone and they will talk about the woman who used to be up in the upstairs through the curtains that they could see when they would go down the street at nighttime.
It does look kind of, it has a witchy kind of look to it.
Yes. Yeah. So that's one. Then the old post office, which was then the library, which is then the title company, which is now going to be McDuff's, has a lot of history related to activity down in the basement, both historically and currently, well, before McDuff's took it over. But when it was the title company, one lady was working in the building later in the day or evening, and she heard somebody down the stairs and jumping on a landing, and it scared her like crazy. So she ran out of the building, left her computer on and everything. Yeah.
Spook.
It was spooky.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe something just fell over. Could be. Maybe.
It could be.
But yeah.
A non-believer would interpret it that way.
Okay.
And then the Sandpoint Middle School, there was an article by Jessica Bowman in The Reader back in 2015 about many, many sightings at nighttime in the Sandpoint Middle School, which of course is the old high school. So I think it's a disgruntled student who didn't get, you know, a good grade, and they walk around in the rooms, and they turn on lights, and they do all kinds of things.
Huh. At Sandpoint Middle School.
Sandpoint Middle School. That's another place.
How long ago, do you know when that, how long was that building, how long ago was it built? How long has it been a school?
Oh, it's been a school for a long time, because it was the high school before it was the middle school. I don't know the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the year.
Okay, but spooky stuff.
Spooky stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then there's Farragut at Farragut State Park.
Ooh.
Have you heard about this one?
I've read about this somewhere, yeah.
Yes, the Brig.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Brig, which was the jail.
Yeah.
And various individuals, it says, who have come to the Brig report seeing full-body apparitions and objects which move about by themselves. Although no one knows exactly who or what is haunting the jail, most of them believe that the apparition was wearing a uniform of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
Well, that scans to me. Yeah, that makes sense. He would be wearing a uniform because he was probably put in the brig for
a
some horrible crime.
Sailor.
Mm-hmm.
All of those who have met or encountered the ghostly visitor said they saw a balding man.
Ooh.
So I guess you can get old when you're a ghost.
Yeah.
So they saw a balding man who seemed to be wearing possibly a prisoner's garb. So this is a little bit different than the uniform, but it's a uniform.
Sure.
Other people who did not see the apparition talked about objects flying across the cells, as well as large objects being relocated.
I'm getting shivers. That's spooky.
Then, of course, there's the Panada Theater.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Go on.
There was a big article in the Bee back in, that's when I printed it. I don't know when it was.
Sure.
And they actually had some paranormal testers come. And, yeah, they saw a couple of people there. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Their monitors, their devices went whing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, the Panada was built in...
24, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. That's same year that the library was built.
Yeah, enough years to... Yeah, put together some activity.
I'm not going to say where this is.
Okay,
this
somebody's
is a
home.
Recent, yeah, this is a recent experience. I can't because I'm not supposed to give identifying information on this one.
Okay,
but this is currently.
Oh.
Currently, and people from this residence were concerned about spirits who were taking over the body of somebody, and they actually went into the museum to research the history of the building to see if any awful things happened there, because this person, I guess this spirit is not very nice.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and this is current. This is happening today.
Somebody having a problem with ghosts here in town.
Yes.
Well, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
I guess so. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Okay, that's pretty good. That's some spooky
stuff.
Well,
then there's the house across the street from me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen ghosts there?
Well,
no. Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Vampires.
Say, people have said they've seen a vision inside that house. And if you know which house I'm talking about. The one to the north of me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which is unoccupied.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a creepy house.
It is kind of creepy house. Yeah. Okay, and you think it's...
Could be
haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, watch out.
Hey, it's Halloween.
It is. Anything can happen out
there.
Anything can happen. It is Halloween. We got a call from Jim Healy over the break.
Uh-huh.
He called me to say hello to you, Scary Logan. And he is in San Francisco. He is not experiencing too much in the way of smoke right now.
Oh.
That could change. I think he said the upper 60s today. Nice, clear day in San Francisco.
Wow. My sister was evacuated in that fire.
Oh,
the
really?
The Kincaid fire. Yeah, she lives in Windsor. And they had to evacuate. They've been out since Sunday night. But they were able to go back last night.
Well, that's a relief. They're evacuating more, I think, down south.
Down south, yeah. Yeah. Diablo wins up north. Santa Ana wins down south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the show preceding us. Democracy Now! Was talking a little bit about that, I think.
Hmm.
About the winds picking up and the fires are worse than even usual down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
I have to say, my little granddaughter, Akella, is probably heading to her school. She's 3 years old, and she and her mom listen to the station. So I'm going to wish Akella a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to Akella.
Yes.
Is she dressed up, do you suppose?
I'm sure she is, and I'll see her tonight when she comes over for some of my candy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a notepad. We'll take a tally, see what the most popular Halloween costumes are this year.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
You think? I'm wondering if it's still superheroes, you know, from the Marvel movies, or if that's on its way out.
And so, what do you get upset if older kids come to the door?
Not me.
I don't either.
No,
I think it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, some people do, but no, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's. I'm okay with a little mischief like that. I do like them to be in some way, you know, dressed up.
Correct.
Yeah. I think, you can't just show up wearing your normal high school attire. You have to, yeah, you have to put on some face paint or have some kind of costume identifiable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, I have no problem. There's no age limit.
I read that like special needs people are using, like sometimes they'll be older and want to trick or treat, and they were using like blue containers for their candy, so you could realize it wasn't just an older person coming to trick or treat. It was special needs person. I'd never heard that before.
Me neither. You're telling me right now. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Mm-hmm. Well, we are fresh out of time. Lots going on this weekend. Dancing at the Sandpoint Parks is hosting their family dance at Sandpoint Community Hall on the 3rd. I want to say next Tuesday is the election. Don't forget to vote.
November 5th, yep.
Next week on the morning show on Wednesday, there's probably going to be some kind of a little recap about the election. And so tune in and hear how it all came out. The Forest Harvest Bazaar is this weekend on Saturday.
At the Charter School?
Second, yep. At the Forest Bird Charter School, the Forest Harvest Bazaar is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And lots more going on, but we don't have time to talk about it right now. So stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere. And happy Halloween.